So welcome to this second video of this management of electric grids, power grids. So we will start talking about, so we will present to, in this video, the basics, the physical basics of a power system and its management. How do we keep this grid running? I start this with this graph showing how the consumption, what we call the load, changes during a day. So we have two pictures. This picture here, you have the consumption in France, 7 February 2012. It's, as far as I know, the record in France. It was a very, very cold day, cold winter. And we have 100 gigawatts, so 100,000 megawatts, so it makes 100 gigawatt. 1 gigawatt is more or less one nuclear power plant. So 100 gigawatt means that we have 100 nuclear power plants, or the equivalent of that, producing electricity at that moment. And we see that this is 7 p.m. We have this amount. During the afternoon, there is a dip, and then you have this peak at 7 p.m. But during the night, even if it was colder in during the night, the consumption is much smaller. So you have a big difference between the peak consumption and the low consumption. And this is a big problem. You must produce electricity, as much as electricity as you consume. We're going to see this in some slides, why this and how this. And this is in very short time. So you cannot say, okay, in average during the day you produce exactly what I consume. No, you must produce exactly at that same time. You must keep in mind that you have power and energy, and they are completely different. Power is how much electricity you have in one moment. At that moment, how much voltage times current, so how much electricity you are using at that moment. But it's instantaneous. Power, and then you have energy. Energy is how much power you have used during one time. So it's the integral of the power. So you have a base of time, and you will make the integral during all that time. It means that if you use an average, so use always the same power during one time, or if you have a big point, a big peak, very short, it may makes the same energy, but power is completely different. And what's important to keep in mind is that your electric grid, it is sized by the power and not by the energy. It's not how much energy you want to transmit that will make the size of your grid. It's how much power, the maximum power you may have in that grid. And that's the problem. If we have big peaks like that, you need a very large, so very expensive grid to do that. Even if the energy is not that big like that, energy means how much power you make during one day, one week, one month, one year. So, boils down to how many power plants you will have in that place. But sometimes you will have all of them working, sometimes you have half of them working. So the second picture you see, this is part of Europe. So UCTE, but before the integration of all parts of Europe today, that we have today. And you see part of this is the load during one day, the average of all Europe during the winter. And this one is one day during summer. So you see that you have a big variation from summer to winter because not all Europe, but a big part of Europe use electricity to heating. In particular, France, and that's why we have this so big consumption. And even if we look at, so 100 megawatts, and for all Europe, in winter you have for, okay, not it's not the same year, but like for almost 400,000 and 100,000. It means that France makes a big amount of the consumption of Europe. And it's not that big. Germany is more populous than France. You have more or less, okay, less people, but not not that much less people in Italy and Spain. But France makes a very big part of it. So why? Because we use a lot of electricity for heating in France. So we have a big peak during this part of the day. When people arrive at home, they turn on their heating, they start using electricity to cook, and then everybody do that at the same time. And then you have this big peak. So we must size the grid for this peak. And that's what we discussed today. So if we can manage the electricity such that you don't have this peak, but you can spread the usage so you have the same amount of energy, but less power, instantaneous power, you may have a smaller grid. Or, on the contrary, you could have the same grid with a larger consumption of electricity. So this is large a part of the research that we do is with this goal. So this is how the load changes. The other thing that I'd like to, in the introduction of this part, is how electricity arrives to your home. So this is an example from one power plant that we have in UK that go to someone's house. So you will see that there will be, we will step up voltage. We talked that in the first video. We will transmit it 100 kilometers. We will use 400 kilovolts. Then for 20 kilometers, we will use 100 kilovolts. So for 7 kilometers, 30 kilovolts. And then 500 meters and 10 meters. And then you go to lower voltages. So we see, we can remark that high voltage for large distance, low voltage small distance. So this is really the path going there. And how it what it looks like. So your power plant, a 2 gigawatt coal power plant, in UK it's very common this, and in several parts of Europe actually. You see here the footprint of a big substation that will step down the voltage from the 400 to 100 kilovolt. So we are arriving with this size of the transmission lines. Yet 100 kilovolt, they are quite large electric lines. But you see that your substation, it's much smaller. The footprint, it's quite small. It's more or less the figure we have seen in the first picture, in the first part of video. Here we see the 33 kilovolts to 11 kilovolts. It's the picture we have seen in the first video. And then just that transformer up the pole here to bring it down to 400 volts and arrive to a house, an isolated house in some place in the countryside. It could be a street in a village also. It will be the same 400 volts. So you see that you have this path to go from the production to the consumption, and you must keep the electricity, several elements of the electricity. And which elements are them? As I have said, you need to keep production and consumption balanced. How does it work? we have the concept of the frequency. So you have an alternative current. It means that you have a sinusoid. The sinusoid has a size from peak to peak and has a frequency. And this frequency must be extremely sharp. In Europe, we use 50 hertz. In America, most of America, we use 60 hertz. You have this two standard in the world. Then you have small standards that are very particular when you have inside a boat or inside an airplane. So you have other possibilities. But for big distribution, for a country, you have 50 and 60 hertz. It doesn't change anything one or another. They are close enough to be the same. What is important is that either you are 50, either you are 60, you keep there. You don't change. It's very, very precise, this frequency. And what happens is that when you have you start producing more electricity than you're consuming, the frequency increases. And when you consume more electricity than you're producing, your frequency decreases. And this is very fast. Actually, I will not enter in this detail at this point. It's the derivative of the frequency is directly given by this balance, supply minus demand. So it's instantaneously you change how your frequency is going up or going down, derivative, by this imbalance. Then you have how long it takes to make a sensible variation. It depends. It depends if you're talking about one very small system. It will be 1 second, 2 seconds. If you take a big country, it will be 5 seconds, maybe a bit more. If you take the largest place, the largest system in the world, Europe, it's around 12 seconds. So it means that you have a big imbalance at this moment. 12 seconds later, the frequency has changed a lot and you start disconnecting your system. So it's this kind of a time frame you have. So it is very fast, this variation. And the variation itself is instantaneous when you have an imbalance. So you're always going up and down your frequency. It's always going around, but in a very tight band around your 50 hertz in Europe, 60 hertz in other places. This is so important that we must take into account how supply and demand will change when we are making the management of a grid. The management of the grid is made so you cannot control in this part of the presentation your demand. You're going to see that in the future, we plan to control part of this demand. But you can control your supply. Actually, you could. Because with the renewables, you're losing this part. And that's the problem with the renewables. Most of the part, the problem. So, you must keep controlling your supply to follow your demand. Such that you keep frequency. This is done, part of it, automatically. You're going to see in some slides later. Part of it, you need human intervention. You must have someone there to give some orders to control it. This is so strong that... So this is a picture from a control center in UK. And you see the guy there, he's controlling the grid and watching a football match. Why that? It's not just because he wants to watch the football match. So this match was a bit old, but it was a semifinal World Cup, Germany times versus England. And let's see what happens with the consumption in the country during that time. So I have shown you some slides before. You have the end of the day. You have that peak And then it goes down, 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 down the consumption for the minimum of the during the night. This is already the case here. Consumption is going down, and then it starts the match. Consumption is going down, and then you have the halftime. When you have the halftime, well, people, they stand up, they go to toilet, they flush, they turn on the stove, they turn on the electric plates. That's a lot more consumption. So much more than you have here, 1,600 megawatts. As I told you, 1,000 megawatts, so 1 gigawatt, it's one nuclear power plant. So you have here more than 1.5 nuclear power plant that must be there ready to produce. You see that just because you have this halftime, how fast this consumption grows for 1.5 nuclear power plant to come. So this is a very strong variation. You must be ready for this kind of variation because frequency will change instantaneously. Starts again the match, people come back to watch, and then end of the full time, again, 1.5 nuclear power plant. So propagation, there's just a small time, so the people don't have much time to make food. But then it ends the match, 2.8 gigawatt, almost 3 nuclear power plants that instantaneously you must have there to put in your grid because the match has ended. So you see how strong is this variation, how tight the control system, the controller must be watching the game to say, okay, now it will stop. We must put the grid, the power plants now. A second example here, it was when there was the 9/11 in 2001. Some days later, there was some minutes of silence in UK. And you see, so here is the normal operation band of frequency. So it's 50 hertz plus minus 0.2 hertz. So you can go up to 50.2 hertz, and you can go down to 49.8 hertz. So this is the normal band for frequency. During the time, the silent time, demand starts reducing. People stop, they are not using electricity. Demand decreases, frequency starts increasing, it goes outbound during this time. When people come back to work and you have the increase in consumption, the frequency starts dropping and drops so fast that it goes below the operational limit too. So you see how fast and how difficult it can be to keep frequency. So this problem of frequency, the example we use to understand that, it's this picture. For me, it's the best picture to illustrate how frequency works. So, imagine that you have those several cars, trucks, each of them with one capacity of how much weight it can tract and which speed it can go. And all of them together, they're pulling this big wheel. And this big wheel must go turning at a constant speed, uphill and with several bumps already, all around. And imagine that each of these cars, they're trying to go in different speeds, but they are the cables holding them. Imagine those cables, they are flexible. There is some flexibility on them, such that if one of the car tries to go faster than the others, it will spread that elastic that will bring it back stronger. It will increase the strength pulling it back. So the faster If one of them go faster than the others, there will be a stronger force pulling it back, and it will make it be at the same speed than the others. If one of those cars go a little slower than the other cars, the strength pulling it will be much smaller, and it can go faster. So all of them, they will be naturally synchronized, and all of them, even being different, will pull this one wheel in a constant speed. That's exactly how power systems work. These cars there, they are the different generators in a power system. The wheel is our frequency, the frequency of the grid. And those elastics there, those cables, they are a physical property of the electrical systems that's given by the angle. You're going to see this in the next slides. But the distance, the electric distance, so the angle between two elements will make how much power this one system here, this one generator, is providing to the grid. So if it starts going too fast, so if its own frequency starts to go faster than the main grid, there will be a larger angle and a larger power, and it will reduce its frequency, and it will synchronize with the others. So there is a natural synchronization, and this natural synchronization is created by physics. It's a natural property. This part is the good part. It's the part that physics will do it for you. You will not need to create this response yourself today. But system is changing, and you're losing this property. This is a very important situation today. How does this frequency works? You have your production from generators and your consumption from loads. It works kind of water. You have a water level here. You have a water flow coming in, and you have a water flow going out. If your water flow in is larger than your water flow out, the level of water will increase. If it's the other way around, so you have more water going out than water coming in, your level will go down. That's exactly how frequency works. You will have the variation of your frequency, so the derivative of your frequency will be given by the generated power minus the consumed power, divided by the frequency itself, 2 times, times an H. This H is a very important concept in electrical grids. It is the inertia of your grid. The larger the inertia of your grid, and this inertia is given by the size of the grid and how many and how big the generators they are, because they are turning. Those big machines we have seen in the pictures, they are turning together. So they are heavy, they are big, they have an inertia. You cannot change that speed so fast like that. So they will create this inertia, and the larger the inertia, the smaller the frequency derivative. So if you have large inertia, things are easier. If you have a small inertia, you have problems. Today, we're losing inertia in the grid. And this is one of the biggest problems we have. And this change comes from power electronics that are the basis of renewables. So renewables in general, you are connected to the grid through power electronics that have no inertia. So you have your generator connected through a transmission line to the grid, the rest of the grid, what you call an infinite bus. You're producing this sinusoid with its amplitude and its frequency. We can represent this sinusoid has a turning vector. It's what we, and this turning vector, if you have a reference frame that is there following that, turning that there at the same time as this vector is turning, you will see this vector as fixed. You will not see this as turning. So if you have this turning reference frame and you represent this vector there, it's what we will call a phasor. And this phasor will have its magnitude. It will be connected to another phasor that makes the main grid. And you have your current vector there, your current phasor too. And the difference from your main grid to yourself. And this is the current flowing through there, through the transmission line. And then you have an angle between you and your main grid. This angle is the elastic that we're talking about in the example of the cars that are pulling the big wheel. This angle makes that elastic. If this angle increases, the power flowing will increase, and then you will reduce the speed. So if this vector here starts turning a bit faster than this one, it will increase the angle, it will increase the power flow, and then this vector will start reducing it. So you will keep it more, you keep the it constant by this mechanism given by this angle. So we're talking here about power flow and this relation with the frequency. So power will give this frequency. But it's a bit more complicated than that because you have two powers indeed. And that's what it's, it can be a bit more complicated. You have what you want to drink, your real power, what you want to consume, and you have something that will come there, will be there, even if you don't want it to be there. Kind of wasted electricity. And that's it's your reactive power. But you need it. It's not wasted electricity. It will be there. You cannot have a grid without this reactive power. Reactive power, it's what makes the magnetism of your grid. We have talked about transformers and how important transformers are for the grid. Well, transformers, they must be magnetized to work. So you need reactive power to keep the transformer running. Every time you have a machine turning, you will need, if it's turning there with a motor, electric motor, it must be magnetized. You need reactive power. So reactive power, it's all around. You cannot avoid that. Your transmission lines, they need reactive power. So you will need that. It's very important for your grid. But it's not that that you're thinking about. It's not that that you're using in the end. What you're really using in the end is this real power. But how can you have these two powers? What's the explanation of this? So, as I said, you have a vector, your phasor, for your voltage. And you have another vector, another phasor, for your current. But they are vectors. If you want to do mathematics with that, you must put those vectors in the same frame. If you say that your frame is your voltage vector, you have the projection from this current in the same vector as here. So you call it the direct part, because you have this angle between them. And you make this ID, it is your your current that is in the same direction as your voltage. And you have your reactive power that is this projection of the current at 90 degrees to your voltage. It's your IQ component. When you make the mathematics, when you multiply one vector to another, what happens is that when you multiply this voltage vector to the projection of the current in the same direction, you multiply one through the other. One times the other, you have your active power. But when you multiply this vector with this 90 degrees projection, you have zero. There will be no multiplication. And that's what your reactive power is. It's the component of your current that's not in the same direction as your voltage. And this is not, this is a power that's flowing in and out, and doesn't stay there. That means that you're multiplying and have zero in average. That's your reactive power, but you're using it. Your current vector will not be that big if you don't have this component there. So then we can, those are the elements, the main elements for electricity, and that's what we call the stability of the grid. What must keep in mind is that electric power, you have a lot of power there. It means that you're trying to control something that has all energy that's necessary to destroy itself. You can blow it with its own energy. You must keep it stable such that it doesn't explode. So this stability is very important. And the power system stability is, the definition for power system stability is, you have one initial operation condition. It's there, it's stable. There is something that happens, a disturbance, a change in your system. You will go to another point of operation that must be also stable. You must arrive there and stay there. And during the way from one to another, all those variables that we have seen here, your voltage, your frequency, your current, the power, all of them must remain bounded. So this is your power system stability. So it makes several kinds of instability, depending on your angle, your frequency, and your voltage. And if you're talking about long time, short time, big disturbance, small disturbance, so you have this definition, this picture, that's the classical picture for defining what is power system stability. So how you manage what you need to manage in a power system. Je vais sauter voltage, cette partie-là. So, one of those variables is voltage. We have seen that frequency is related with active power. Voltage is related with reactive power. Injecting plus or minus reactive power steers voltage. If voltage starts dropping, you need to give more reactive power and voltage will start increasing. If your voltage is too high, you need to reduce reactive power. So with reactive power, input, output of reactive power, you will control your voltage. The problem is that with solar panels, you will have over voltage in some places. And with electric vehicles, you will have under voltage in some places. So you need to keep your voltage stability. So this is a distribution line with the houses. You will need to, one of the possibilities is to drive to control your reactive power. So this is one thing that is being worked in research. You also have a problem that with those either PVs or electric vehicles, you have other problems like the power flux. You may have overload, but this is even another problem that enters here. So, voltage. frequency, as we've said, is the same for everybody. But how the same for everybody we're talking about? The same for everybody. It means that the difference with one place and another place, it's very small. It's the, it's just the transitory of the angle. Like this example was in 2009, there was a nuclear power plant that got disconnected to the grid, from the grid. So it was more or less big variation, but nothing too big for a European grid. And you have here the frequency, at the instantaneous frequency at that moment in several countries, in Germany, in Algeria. Remember, it makes part of a European grid. Spain, Greece, so on. And you see that all of them were at 50 hertz. So here is 49.99. So it's really tight. And all of them, they fall at the same time. And then they stabilize. So you have an imbalance of power. And then all of the frequencies, they fall at the same time. And you have this phenomena between, among them, that are just the transition of the angle. So these are transitory phenomena. So you see that when you have a mismatch in power, you have this decrease of frequency. So you have this rate of change of frequency, what we call a Rykov. You have the minimum of frequency, the nadir, and then if everything goes well, you come back and you stabilize in another frequency that is not the same as before. And those, they are related to the basic equation of power systems. The derivative of the frequency, so this term you can even neglect because d is very small, but it's just a damp with the frequency itself. And something proportional to power in minus power out. And here inside you have this H that is your inertia. And what you see that the end error in your frequency is some is your power mismatch times a, something that depends on your inertia. The speed where you're falling is function of your inertia. Again, it's an exponential. So, and your oscillations, they also are part function of your inertia. If you start reducing the inertia, reducing inertia means you're including more and more renewables, you start decreasing faster and decreasing more and more low frequency. And this is the problem because you must keep your margin, your operation margin is 49.8. And if you arrive, if you touch 49, you start really disconnecting everybody. So you, it's the problem of reduction of inertia. So we see that to control voltage, we must control reactive power, and to control frequency and angle that goes together, you must control your active power. Talking about frequency, usually it's the faster one, it's the more, most complex one. We, and actually for all of the control of the grid, all the management of the grid, we will need what we call ancillary service. So you have how much power you must sell, your customers, they are needing to now, but you also need to use power to control the grid. And this is done in several layers, and each layer has a different time frame. You have a transitory phenomena that I'm not considering here, but I have put together with primary layer. And then you have the primary itself. So here you have the milliseconds to seconds time frame. Secondary layer, several seconds. Tertiary layer, you go to very slow time frame. Each layer is related to some physical characteristic of the system. And these ancillary services are connected to your frequency. So that picture we have seen some moments ago where the frequency goes down and then goes up and stabilizes, each of those movements are related with one time frame and one time, one kind of control of management of the grid. In the first moment, so the first milliseconds up to 2 seconds, you have the inertial reserve that's working there. So you have this inertial response means your generators that are turning there, that angle that I said, it's very important, that makes like the elastic cables pulling your car, those are acting. Those physical concepts connected to inertia, they are acting at this initial time. Then you have your primary response. So your controllers, so your systems, here we are in pure automatic for inertial and primary response, you will have more power and you need to give this power. So that's why we say that you have a reserve. And you use this primary reserve to put more power there and bring this frequency that is falling, and then with the primary power, you will bring it to a stop, a halt. So this primary reserve, you must start giving this power in at least a maximum 2 seconds, so less than 2 seconds, and you must arrive to full deployment in less than 30 seconds. And you will keep providing that power for several minutes. So to be so fast as this, you must be connected. So you have power plants there that are not producing as much power as they could. They are just leaving some reserve that if you need to give that instantaneously, it can give instantaneously. So this is your primary reserve. Then you have your secondary reserve. Your secondary reserve, it kicks in 30 seconds and you have full deployment after. So it's less than this. This is the end of the, this is the time and recovery. So you will enter in 30 seconds and you'll be there at less than 1 minute. It means that you have time to have some communication. You can have a more centralized system that will give orders, and you make that, you will have that secondary reserve that kicks in. The tertiary reserve, it enters after 15 minutes. It means that you have time even to take the telephone, call a power plant and say, are you ready to come in? We will need your power in 15 minutes. Is that okay? So I will schedule you to enter there. So tertiary reserve, so prime inertial reserve is just to reduce the speed you're falling. Primary reserve is to bring you back to a stable situation, but wrong frequency. Secondary reserve means you steer your frequency back to operational margin. Tertiary reserve, it's economic optimization. You're just trying to reschedule everything such that you use the less expensive production to produce the electricity you need at that moment. So the first ones are really stabilizing the system. The tertiary, it's really to create economic reliability on this system. So this is the end of the second video. We have seen how we manage power grid, which are the main phenomena, the main elements that physics give us to control this power grid, to keep it stable, what is power system stability. And in the next video, you're going to see the future of power grid, so the future of which problems we are foreseeing already, which solutions we are foreseeing already, and what are the new smart grids, power grids, super grid, micro grid we're having in the world. So thank you for your attention.